Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church.
Good morning and happy Sunday.
Yes.
We are super excited. I love Sunday mornings. Do you love Sunday mornings?
Yes.
I love Sunday mornings. It is time for us to gather as one big corporate church. I am super pumped. Well, I'm Taisha Moore. This is Pastor Damon Moore, and we are your lead pastors at City Place Church.
That's right. So we welcome you to service. We know that you're gathering in your home, and today we step foot into a local church, and so we're just happy to just So we're at home, and we know that you're at home, but we welcome you here. We are so excited today. The last few weeks, we've been spending time talking about Nehemiah and Nehemiah building the wall. And you started it off a few weeks back by talking about how God wants to rebuild broken places. And last week, we talked about Built to Last. And this week, we're going to lean in a little bit more just on something practical, because Pastor Ty gave us a point last week that just said, we want to focus on what God first or last said, and then we worship. And so we're just going to lean in today, just talking about that aspect of our life that's built through worship.
So good. I'm super pumped about this morning. Listen, we do something before we dive right in. We give a level 10, and that means that we take notes. Those notes are found at cityplacechurch.com/notes. So hurry up and run to your printer and get those printed off so you can follow along with us this morning. We also remove the distractions and join in the conversation. So anything that would be like a normal talk back or whatever, come on, join in. We're family at Safe Place. But just to recap what you said, baby, actually, before we get started, how about we pray? Let's just ask God for his presence. Father, we thank you that you are here with us this morning, that we are the church. Let us lean in. Let us remove every distraction and hear what you would have to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right. So last week you laid some good groundwork for us, babe. We've been talking about this story of Nehemiah, and we talked about how he was doing that rebuilding process. Man, last week we talked about those three jokers on the side that he had to deal with, the naysayers, the people that you and I will have to overcome obstacles to what God has called us to do. But as Nehemiah began to build, he built in a very, very strategic way. The first group of people that built the first portion of the wall, if you read that chapter beginning in 3, even going on to the latter parts of Nehemiah, you see that he started with the priests. It was so important that the people of God, that God would literally carry the first portion, the chief pieces of this wall. And it was no accident that he begins to lay this incredible foundation, but begins with the house of God. Now, what do we know about the house of God in this setting? We know that the house of God was used for sacrifices and was used as a form of worship. It was the tool that was used to connect people like you and me back to their God through these couple of steps. And so the priests carry this really critical activity first. And so today, building on that notion, as this is the first stone of the many pieces of this wall that God has called Nehemiah to build, well, God, if they started first with the people that represented worship, then teach me how to root my life and start as you rebuild me, as you make me strong, as you build my walls and fortify me, teach me how to worship. So today we're going to be diving into that concept. Teach me how to worship.
That's good. And so here's just a quick thought and a question to just guide our discussion today as we lean in, because we're talking about those broken places being rebuilt and being built to last. And now we're talking about, you know, that life built on worship, so that we need God to teach us how to worship. Here's a question. Here's a question to think about. Have I, you, been in his presence, God's presence, or just at the doorstep? Like, have I been where he desires me to be, or have I been at the doorstep, which is where I desire to be? It's where I feel like I'm close enough to God in this season, or am I all the way in his presence to where I know what he desires and what he needs? And so we're going to read just a couple of scriptures this morning. The first one is found in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 3. The team is going to put that up there for you. It says this: and they stood up, the people, in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for one fourth of the day, and for another fourth they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. I'm going to go to the second one and the second text in a second, but let me just give you a quick overview. So the people after Nehemiah and the people that built the text, the house of God, after they've rebuilt the wall, the place that Nehemiah had focused on, it says that there was a guy by the name of Ezra who found the book of the law. And he says, we've not only have to build what we've built, but we also need to make sure that there is presence of God, that the house of God is rebuilt, and we have to build back the foundation of what God has built our life on. And it says that the people decided that they were going to spend time in God's word, and then they were going to confess in their heart and worship. And so that's Nehemiah chapter 9, same foundation that we've been in for the last few weeks. And then John chapter 4, 22 through 24 says this: you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. This is Jesus talking. But the hour is coming, and now is the time, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
I love this analogy of what we see in this passage. I think about it like this. If I went to a concert, and I was, you know, at most concerts, there's the stage and whoever it is that's performing. And then almost always there's a group of groupies right in the front. They're front and center. They're oohing and aahing. They're closest to the speakers. And then inevitably, there are people who sit in what I call the cheap seats. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It gets you in the door of the concert or whatever. I almost said conference. The concert. But they didn't pay that much. They didn't pay to get the up-close version. They paid to get the cheap seats, which means that they may see whatever is happening microscopically far away. And so the question that we asked this morning is, where exactly do you stand in the presence of God, in the place of God? Where is worship as it relates to your life and to mine? And sometimes we have to give ourselves sort of this, you know, kind of 2020, you know, this century of aversion to say, where do I sit in the concert? Am I nearly deaf because I'm at the stage and I have a neck cramp because I'm looking up at the presence of God? Do I understand what that feels like? Am I looking at every move? Can I see every bit of sweat? Can I see what's happening and where he's moving? Or am I okay with being at the doorstep? See, the doorstep we tell ourselves is, at least I'm here.
That's good.
At least I've paid for my ticket. At least I went to the show. Right? That's what we tell ourselves. And sometimes with God, we tell ourselves, well, at least I'm here. At least I showed up to church. It's okay that I've left my hands in my pocket the whole time. It's okay that I'm not really moved. I'm just sort of watching what's happening. But God invites us into this process of worship very strategically. And even as we said earlier, we saw the people building their lives upon this act of worship. So why in the world does this sacrifice that we have in this day means so much to God? Yeah. Because God gives us so many examples throughout Scripture, and we'll dive into some of them today about what worship is and what it's not. First of all, we find that worship is not about what we want, but it's what God wants. Yeah. You see, God's heart is moved when we speak his language.
That's good.
And what is the language of heaven? The language of heaven, the Bible declares that the angels will sing holy, holy, holy from now until eternity, that they will look upon the face of their God and never get tired of singing his praises, that they are overcome and overwhelmed with emotion and praises and adoration to our God. See, it's not what the angels want, it's what God wants. And because it's what God wants and it's his language, it's what they want. I wonder if you and I would take the language of heaven and say, God, it doesn't matter. I don't worship because I feel like it. I don't worship because I don't feel like it. I worship because it's your language. I worship because it's what moves your heart. I worship because it's what moves you and what you want to listen
That's
to.
Good.
So I invite you this morning to reframe your perspective. Just like it said in Luke 19:40, it said some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to him, talking about Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples for shouting these praises. People were shouting his praises as he was going along. And Jesus replied, I tell you, if these people keep silent, the stones will cry out in their spot. I don't know about you, and I know this is so cliche, but I don't want any inanimate object to sing holy, holy, holy in my place. Mm-hmm. I was created with lips to praise my God. I don't need any rocks to cry out in my place. Can I get an amen this morning? It is what God wants of us. The worship.
That is so good. You know, I was thinking about, as we were putting this together, I was thinking about the rocks. The rocks. I would hate for a rock to be outside of my house going, oh, God, thank you for putting me at Pastor Damon and Ty's house. I am so grateful to be in this environment. I'm so grateful to be here. I would hate for a rock, like you said, to give God more praise or to or to be in his presence and then me to be outside going, I'm good.
Yes.
Because Jesus clearly said in the word that the rocks are crying out every single day. So the question, as we are talking about building our life on worship, are we in God's presence or are we just at the door? Jesus said this. He said in John, he says, true worshipers are who I seek. And the Father is seeking that right now, which leads me to believe that he's not always finding people who are worshiping him in his presence, and people who are worshiping him at the door is what he's normally finding. But Jesus says the Father is seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Here's what he says in Luke 19. Pastor Ty just said, he says, listen, the rocks will cry out instead. So what does it look like for us to be able to worship the Father? Jesus says, you worship who you don't even know. So here's just a couple of definitions. Praise, by definition, means this: to glorify the attributes of perfection, to express approval of, to express your thanks and love and respect for God. So the expression of praise can't be silent.
Yes.
The expression of praise can't be silent. I can't say, he knows my heart.
Right.
I have to go, God, no matter what, even in the middle of this moment in time where it seems like the walls of life are caving in, I thank you for, you can tag that in, I'm grateful for Jesus. I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful for provision. I'm grateful for my family. But we have to express it. We can't just think on it solemnly.
Yeah.
The second thing is worship. So we have praise and then we have worship. Worship is this. What? Worship is the extravagant respect. It goes higher than praise. It's the adoration or devotion to an act of expressing such reverence. So praise is, you better tell him that you love him and you respect him and you honor him. But worship says, oh, take it higher. Go higher. Worship is the Beverly Hills. It's the thing that some people go, oh, why would you do that? It's the story in the New Testament when Jesus is about to die. And the Bible says that the woman took a costly oil and she spread it all over Jesus' feet. And the people were like, why would you do that with such costly stuff? It's because worship will cost you something.
Yeah, that's good.
Because it's not about me.
That's good.
It's about you. It's how do you want to be worshipped? Praise says, listen, I'm going to praise you for this, and I'm going to praise you for that. Worship says, oh, I'm going to give you what you want because I honor you.
That's so good. There's this book called The Five Love Languages, and I think about it like this. It teaches that especially when you're in a partnership or, you know, a marital relationship or even with your kids, that you don't just give them love the way that you would like to give it. So if you like to give gifts or you're like, hey, but I work all the time and I provide for you. And they're like, I don't want that from you. I want to spend, you know, time with you every day. I want you to spend time with me throwing footballs and things like that. It's the way that person wants to receive it. And I think about our God in the same respect. We don't just get to do whatever we want to do. We get to do it the way he wants to receive it. And worship is his language. The other thing that we do, though, it's what God wants from us. But why do we worship? Why else do we worship? Yeah. Well, we worship God for a lot of different reasons. One of them being for what he has done.
That's good.
I don't know how many of you out there are parents. If you're a parent in the chat, say, it's me. Hallelujah. Maybe you're excited about that, or maybe you're struggling with that. It's me.
And we see y'all. We see y'all. Keep commenting.
That's right.
Keep commenting. We see you.
The parents out there, can you imagine your little one, your son or your daughter, keeping to themselves the word thank you? As parents, we turn to them and we will give them the worst thing, right? Like we'll give them chopped up chicken nuggets. And we're like, what do you say? thank you. That we know what we want them to say. Why? We're trying to teach them a certain gratitude that comes from their lips, not something that they just think in their head, and certainly not something that they don't know how to acknowledge.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's the worst food or if it's the best food. It doesn't matter. The point is that we're trying to teach them and cultivate this spirit. And God gives us the same thing, right? As us, as being his kids, he's saying to us, I'm teaching you what to say. I'm teaching you how to practice this act. We find this in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 21, where David is saying to Michal, his wife, I am so honored. The Ark of the Covenant has come back into his possession. And David is so overwhelmed with joy that the presence of God is back in its rightful home, that God has revisited his people. And he dances before the Lord. And so he says this to his wife, who is like, what are you doing? Says, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your daddy and all his house to appoint me the ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. And therefore, I will play music before the Lord. Later on the scriptures, it says, I'll become even more undignified than this. I worship him because he's been good to me.
That's good.
And no matter where we find ourselves this morning, whether life is perfect or whether, honestly, the first thing out of our minds is like, it's not perfect. And I can tell you 25 things that are not perfect. One thing that we cannot deny this morning, no matter who you are, is that God has been good.
That's right.
We are still here.
Yeah.
We are still alive. We are still functioning. Yeah. So as long as we have breath, we have the ability to say, God has been good.
That's good.
And we praise him on that account.
Not only has God been good, but God is good. God's nature is good.
Good.
God is good. Jesus looks and he says, you worship what you don't even know. You worship who you don't even know. He says, but man, if you knew him, you'd worship him how he desires to be worshiped, in spirit and in truth. And he's looking for that. We're talking about building our life. We're talking about rebuilding broken places. And for some of us, the attitude of worship and the intimacy with God is where God says, let me rebuild it. You know, last week and the week before, we talked about the five blueprint points. And one of them that just continues to resonate in me is that we go back to the last thing that God said.
Yeah.
We go back to the last thing that God said. And I just kept putting on those five things that you shared in the first week of the series is, and then I worship. I have to do more than cry. I'm going to worship. I have to catch my rhythm and rebuild my courage as I worship.
That's good.
I have to assess the damage, then worship.
Yeah.
I have to do the work in worship. It's like
yeah.
God and his presence has to saturate every aspect of our lives.
Yeah.
Jesus says, you have to worship God, but you have to worship him the way he desires. And as Pastor Ty said, we worship God for what he's done. The reason why is because once he's done something, we realize who he is.
Mm-hmm.
See, we are able to determine God's character based on what he has done for us.
Yeah.
If God healed your body, he is a healer.
That's right.
If he's a provider for your life, which he's a provider for all of us, he is a provider. He's a peace giver. He's a sustainer. He is good. That's who he is. So we worship God for what he's done, but we also worship God for who he is.
Yeah, and it's difficult to worship somebody that you don't know.
Mm.
Right? So it's if God has never healed or touched my body, it's difficult for me to throw up my hands. But this is what I love in what you just said about the blueprints and then worship, and we don't cry. We do more than just cry, and we worship, and we assess the damage and worship. Sometimes I just want to tell you this morning, it's okay to worship through your emotions, meaning it's okay to have tears streaming down your face and for you to say, God, I am so disappointed, but here's the clincher. I know who you are.
Mm.
I might be disappointed in the way I feel right now, but I'm not confused in who you are. And at the end of this, even though it's not matching my emotion, I declare that you are trustworthy. There is something so amazing when you are worshiping God when it doesn't even align with how you really feel.
That's so good.
So if maybe this morning you would say, I am experiencing lack because of the nature of what's going on, or because I don't have a plan, or I don't have a blueprint. I don't know where my next you know, bill is going to be paid from, or where my next meal or where my schedule's coming from, or whether or not I'll have the hours at work. But I know that you are God, my provider. So good. And I worship your name, and I bless your name, and I honor you, God. It is difficult to praise God if we don't have a relationship as our basis. But I'm going to tell you this morning. There is nothing that honors God more than as an act of faith. You don't just praise God based on what you know. You praise God based on what his word says. You praise God whether we know it and we see it or you don't. So good. There is something magical about this thing in worship, because it's worship is the thing that God desires from us. We talked about it earlier with the chicken nuggets, right? It's what God says I love. I will be moving and doing all of these things across the edges of the earth. But when you start to worship,
that's good.
And you just got my full attention, I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and I'm leaning in. It says in Hezekiah that Hezekiah was preparing, and God said, you're going to die. You're going to take your sickness right now, and you're going to die. And what did he do? He turned his face. He turned his back, and he began to cry out to God. And what did it do? It got the Lord's attention, and he said, you know what? I've heard your cry. I'm going to give you 15 more years in your life. There's story after story after story in the Word where God shows us his plan, that it gets his attention, it gets his attention when we start to worship his name. He doesn't even know what to do but lean in. And so we worship God because he desires it from us. He desires to hear that he can do it so that he can do it for you.
That is so, so good. So again, we ask, are you in his presence, or are you at the doorstep? You know, we said this last week. We were returning back to some daily routines of our life. Our cities are opening up. Our routines are picking up. Are we going to leave this season of pause being full of God's presence and power, or are we just going to return to the way we were before? You know, our responsibility as pastors is to make sure that the flame and the passion for a relationship with God is ever high. We never want to be stale. There's so much in God that we have to go after and pursue and get. And worship is key to seeing the broken places rebuilt.
Yeah.
It's key to having a life that's built to last. It's key to us seeing God move in every aspect of our life. And so worship is what God desires. Jesus said it again, spirit and in truth. Here's a couple more thoughts, and then we'll pray. And then maybe we'll even worship a little bit. We worship because we were created to worship. It says this in 1 Peter 2:9, "For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." First Peter says, God created you special to himself, put praise on the inside of you, because can't nobody declare praises at the level that you can because of what he's done. It says that he brought you out of darkness into light. He says, you would have been distant from me if it hadn't been for the salvation that comes through Jesus. So based on Jesus' sacrifice and gift of salvation alone, let those praises go up. Hmm. Let those praises go up, because God said, you're mine. And I put praises inside of your mouth, because when you declare it, you say, thank you for what you've done through Jesus himself. Matthew chapter 21, verse 16 says this. It says, "For out of the mouths of children and babes, I'll furnish a place of praise." Before you and I were ever born, God had deposited elements of praise on the inside of us. That he said, I'm going to put in them that desire to give me glory, to declare who I am. And as they get older and older, it's only going to get more and more intense. But here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. You and I are called and created to worship. Are we going to be living in his presence, pursuing him passionately, or just at the doorstep?
Yeah. I love this final point for us this morning, and that is that we worship God because it changes things. You know, I talked about earlier when worship gets God's attention, but it doesn't just get his attention. He acts on our behalf. If you've been in church any amount of time, maybe you've heard it said like this: it changes the atmosphere. We have this saying with our kids, which they'll, you know, may not appreciate this morning, but we say, you know, what's the deal? What's going on with you? And they usually, it's the exact opposite. Nothing, nothing, nothing happening. And they're like, but you've changed the atmosphere. You've actually altered what's happening. And I want to tell you, just as much as that has a whiff of not being so great, worship has the ability to do exactly the opposite. You come in and you're anxious about something. Yeah. Have you ever come in and, you know, there's something that you're really sad about or grappling with or something that has broken your heart, and you've sung a song, sometimes through tears, sometimes in joy, sometimes you just have to praise your way through. And worship has this way of altering the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It has the way of taking your emotions and saying, recenter, refocus, get your hopes back up. That's what this moment is designed for. And worship is this, it's this construction, it's a deep construction process that happens in the matter of moments. As we refocus our lives back on Jesus, back on where the praises belong, it has the ability to adjust the atmosphere. It's so powerful, all of the things that worship can do. And we talked about this morning, we worship God because of who he is. We worship him because of what he's done. We worship him because it's what we were created to do. We worship him because the rocks will cry out in our place. And we worship God because he is so powerful that he can change the atmosphere, put the puzzle pieces in a different order to work things for your good and for mine. Yeah. I invite you this morning to use worship not as a backup plan for a pick-me-up, but as a sword in your belt that says, I will chop off the head of emotions that would try to take root in my life, and I will put back on the throne the name of Jesus, where he rightfully belongs.
That is so, so good. You know, as we wrap up service this morning, I couldn't help but think, when you were talking about how God is doing and working things out for our good, some of us have been going through life. Some of us have been going through this season of life, and we've really been wondering if God is good. Some of us have withheld our worship because of the season of life we're in. Some of you have been impacted by COVID-19, whether it's family, illness, and it's caused a pause to really question whether God is good, whether God is worthy of the worship. But we're here this morning to tell you that God is worthy of the worship, because worship has been put on the inside of you. And we declare to you again today that God is good, but there is an enemy who would want to silence and steal the praise that God has for you. And if you go back to week number one of this series, Pastor Ty talked about the rebuilding of the broken places in our life. And it goes back to the thing that God first told you. The thing that God first told you. And if you haven't heard God's voice in a long time, let me declare to you that God loves you. You are chosen by him, and you have been built to be in relationship with him. And if there's nothing else that we can thank God for, let's go back to 1 Peter, where it says, you are a special people unto me. Praise is on the inside of you, because you can declare what Jesus did for you. And so right now, we want to give you an opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus right now.
Yeah. Maybe you're finding yourself this morning really resonating with what we're talking about this morning in worship. Maybe you're also sitting in your living room saying, you know, Pastor, I want to rekindle that. I think it's time for me to understand the language of worship. Maybe I've let my emotions, or even my thoughts in my head, maybe there's something that's happened in your life where you've frankly felt disappointed with how things have gone on and questioned the goodness of God. And this morning, I would love to join with you in prayer so that you can rejoin and rekindle your relationship with our little boys. You know, if they're having a difficult time, we say, boys, get together and hug it out and work it out, right? We'd say, go work it out. And I want to invite you this morning to have a moment with your God that you can work it out. And I want to tell you that through worship, you can have honest conversations with God, but you can also rekindle a right relationship with God. And boldly, you can ask him, please restore in me a deep understanding and a trustworthy nature in who you are. And I believe that he will continue to help you grow day by day and moment by moment. You know, it starts with this declaration. It's a simple declaration that said, whatever the reason and for whatever reason I find myself in this place this morning, I just want to rekindle that moment. I want childlike faith that reaches out to my God, knowing that your hand will touch mine. We say prayers like this because as Christians, we know that as we declare these words that Jesus died for us, that as he rose from the dead and he's seated in heavenly places, that we have the ability and the freedom to call ourselves children of God. It's a super simple prayer, just a couple sentences that declare what I just said. And if that's you this morning and you would say, I'm ready. I'm ready to understand my legacy of worship, but first things first, let me declare and recommit, or maybe for the first time, who my God is. Then I invite you to pray this prayer right after me, wherever you are this morning. Say,
Father God,
I declare
out of my mouth
that you are God.
You are God.
I believe that you died, that you rose again, and you are now seated in heaven. And by this declaration,
I say
that I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
I am your kid. Now, as I reach out my hand,
join with mine
and
rekindle my faith.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It's, the Bible says that heaven throws a party every single time.
That's right.
Somebody that was away from God comes back into right relationship. So can you hear the horns blowing and the music playing and see the people dancing? It's a spiritual DJ. We're super, super excited. There are some next steps. Listen, it doesn't promise that everything is going to magically be fairy dust sprinkling from heaven, but there are some next steps. There's a family of God. There's a life-giving church. If you're here in the Orlando area, of course, I welcome you to City Place Church. There's a Bible-believing church that will help you grow. And there's resources on our cityplacechurch.com webpage. Just look for next steps, and that will get you to where you need to be on your journey.
That's right. You made that decision today. You say, Pastor Damon, Pastor Ty, I'm accepting Jesus for the very first time, or I'm rekindling that relationship. Also text 407-393-8426. Just text that number, put yes, your name, and I accepted Jesus. And our team would love to come around you and just support you in this next step.
And celebrate with you.
And celebrate. Yes, let us be the first people to celebrate the decision that you made. It is by far the most important decision that you will ever make.
It's exciting. And we're super pumped and proud
That's
of
right.
you. There's one other way that we worship the Lord this morning, and as we conclude our time, we do that through our generosity. City Place, you blow my mind how generous you are. I just want to applaud you. Since this whole thing has started and well before that, you have been a tremendously generous church, and I am so pumped to be a part of it.
So I gotta brag a little bit, because we declared that we would continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And we have been supplying just gifts and financial support to some local nonprofits here. And so we gave some additional kingdom finances to a local nonprofit to help them stay open. And so shout out to just the Church of Jesus Christ, not just City Place Church, but the Church of Jesus Christ, for all that the Church of Jesus is doing, being the hands and feet of Jesus. So we honor your faithfulness in this season.
there has also been some families that have reached out and said, look, I am going to step up and I'm going to be even more generous.
Yeah.
I am in a position where I can help people who have been affected by COVID-19. And it has been so overwhelming, the number of people that said, you know what, I don't need this extra stimulus check. I want to make a financial contribution to people who are hurting in my community. And you have been so generous to be able to extend that help right here locally in our backyard to families that need help. And we have been continuing to support silently many times families that need help. And so I just want to say, well done. And we honor God with our finances. Listen, it's not even about COVID-19. It's just what the Lord asks us to do as his kids. So this morning, it's time to give. And you can either text to give, which is super technological, or you can do that online, cityplacechurch.com/give. And we will be honored to steward that gift this morning.
That's right. And as always, if COVID-19 has impacted you, that same text number that we posted earlier, 407-393-8426. Text us your name and support or prayer. We'd love to come and be, you know, the hands and feet of Jesus the best we can as well in this season. But can I pray?
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for just the presence of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that as we give today, God, let your kingdom finances continue to make an impact. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we get to represent the Church of Jesus right here in this season of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, hey, thank you for hanging out with us. We always enjoy spending time with you on Sunday mornings.
See you next week. We love you.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or, if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.